Good afternoon, I'm Kaki Walton, checking on the arts is made possible by contributing listeners, the Germantown Performing Arts Center, and the Orpheum Theater. There's a new Memphis music documentary, Take Me to the River, that's going to premiere this Friday, September 12th at Malco's Paradiso Theater. And I watched it this morning. It's just an amazing documentary that brings together older music legends, and we watch them mentor the young musicians who are coming up today. It's a terrific idea, and it's partly Cody Dickinson's idea, and you know him from the North Mississippi All-Stars. He created this with director Martin Shore and also wrote the original score. And, of course, Cody and his brother Luther and the North Mississippi All-Stars Grammy-nominated band. And also joining me is the executive producer of the film, Boo Mitchell. They are sons of Memphis music legends, and it's great to have you both in the studio this afternoon. Thanks so much for coming out.
It's great to be here.
Sure thing, Kaki. Thanks for having us.
Well, this is just such a treat for me, and it was a treat to watch the documentary this morning. First of all, I kind of gave a little thumbnail sketch about what this is about, but do you want to fill it in a little bit more, Cody?
Well, that's a great description. You know, it was something that me and Martin dreamt about and talked about for years, and we just started losing loved ones. We lost my dad. We lost Willie Mitchell. You know, Alex Chilton. These were all people who were key collaborators in our plan, our idea. And that was a call to action for us. You know, we realized it was something that we needed to do immediately, right away. And and as soon as we got Boo Mitchell involved, we were off. Off we went. It was an amazing experience.
It was amazing to watch this whole experience, truly. And I mean, what better person to get on board with you than Boo? I mean, you both were mentored coming up as
That's
kids,
right.
But because your fathers were both musical legends, and now you're giving other people who weren't born into a situation like that
a glimpse into it.
Yeah, a glimpse
into
it.
You know, we just realized that. Well, I realized when I met Boo, it was very serendipitous, and it was. He just personifies what the movie is about.
You too, man. I had always known about Cody, but got the opportunity to work with him, and we just immediately hit it off. We had this kindred spirit. I just remember the conversation, and he was telling me about the project, and he was telling me about the director, Martin, and he said, Boo, he's trying to do the right thing, you know, and that just resonated with me. And when I met Martin, it was just, you know, a camaraderie off the bat. So I was happy to do it.
Well, you know, I take for granted sometimes that people know exactly what both of your fathers did.
Mm-hmm.
And you've taken over the business that your dad, Willie Mitchell, had. Remind people if they don't really know. Maybe they're new to the area and don't get what history this is.
Well, Willie Mitchell had a lot to do with the so-called Memphis Sound. He had an instrumental band in the early 50s, and he came from a big band background, but, you know, the whole Memphis Sound, like with Booker T and the MGs and the funky rhythm section and stabby horns, you know, Pop was doing that in the 50s with just, you know, two horns and a rhythm section. So he did instrumentals up until about 68 when he met Al Green, and, you know, started producing records. And he was working out of Royal Studios, which was the home of Hot Records. So he's most known for being Al Green's producer, Ann Peoples, Otis Clay, Seal Johnson, and just everything Hot Records.
And, you know, one of the great things that your dad produced that I love was Into the Purple Valley.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Oh,
that's by Ry Cooter.
Absolutely. You know, that was that's a great reference point. You know, growing up around that kind of music, that's some of the first music I remember hearing, which was Ry Cooter with, like, California's finest musicians, like Jim Keltner, you know.
Yeah.
And my dad was... as a kid, I remember him going out to L.A. to work on movie soundtracks a lot with Cooter. And he also produced Boomer Story and Into the Purple Valley. That is a great record. Yeah.
One thing that I love about this film is that just the joy of music making and mutual respect just permeate this film. And it harkens back to the heyday of Memphis music, back when Stax was, you know, so great, and Royal was turning out hits and American studios, and back at a time of racial strife, but music was colorblind in this town.
That's
you had
right.
white musicians, black musicians playing together. There was no color barrier.
Yeah, Memphis was always integrated with the musicians. I remember my dad saying that, you know, when in the late 50s, early 60s, he had white musicians playing with him. And even some of the segregated clubs that he played, they would let his, you know, artists come in and watch him. So it was always this brother, this musical brotherhood in Memphis. That's what makes the whole Dr. King thing, that this irony, you know, because our music industry has always been integrated, mm-hmm. but it's just everybody else was a little late to the party.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's touched on in the film. I mean, as soon as Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated, it just tore the city apart and mm-hmm. tore the music industry apart at the same time.
Well, you know, the film takes on some big subjects. You know, it deals with mortality, it deals with civil rights, and, you know, it had to be done correctly. It was really important that we approach it. We tell the story properly, mm-hmm. and I just think it proves that Memphis has been and still is an oasis, you know, in sort of a world of disconnection, you know. And music is the glue. Music is what brings us together. The best thing, the most important lesson I learned working on this project is that when you have a cause that people believe in and something that they can rally around, if you get talented people all on the same page, moving in the same direction, remarkable things happen. You know, we can truly do anything together.
Yeah.
And that's to me, that's the heart of the film, you know. And it speaks to our history and it speaks to who we are today as well.
You know? Well, I want to get into who you got to come on board with the project, but
sure.
You were talking about it had to be handled the right way.
Absolutely.
One thing that surprised me, and I saw him in the footage and went, wait a minute, what is he doing here? Jerry Harrison co-wrote this.
Oh, yeah.
From the Talking Heads. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of out of left field. How did that happen?
Well, you know, that's a good question. You know, it's that's a very fair question. You know, you're the first to ask that one. Nice
yeah.
guy. You know, Jerry came on to the project. He came in late. He was one of the last producers to get involved. We were struggling with what I was talking about, like the way to make this narrative, to tell the story properly and correctly. And we worked on this for 4 or 5 years. It was an ongoing process.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, the last year of production, around, you know, I would say late 2012, early 2013, we really hit our stride. And the movie turned around. We did a 180. All of a sudden, everything made sense, and it really started to fall into place. And Jerry was a big part of that. Jerry and Martin became friends. Martin, it was an interesting, you know, collective of people and artists. You know, Martin, he has a lot of experience making movies. He makes major motion pictures. He produces major motion pictures, and this is his first direction. But I met Martin working with Snoop Dogg,
mm-hmm.
and so and of course Snoop's family's from Mississippi, so there's that relevance there.
Uh-huh.
But Martin also met Jerry Harrison while we were doing the film, and Jerry, you know, he's an Ivy Leaguer, he's a smart guy, and he really helped us finish. He wrote a lot of the monologues that you hear and the narration,
right?
And and also on the very last session, the one with William Bell and Snoop Dogg, I don't want to spoil it for you, but he has a key moment in the actual production of the song, and he sort of steers the ship in the right direction there at the last
yeah.
minute.
Well, let's talk about who you decided to get together to collaborate.
Sure. Well, me and Boo pretty much split that in half, you know. We both took a lot of, that was an enormous amount of work.
Yeah,
putting the collaborators together was intense, because I mean, the music is the fun part. What you see on screen is the fun part. There's a lot of logistics that go into
sure,
that.
Sure,
I learned a lot too. A sort of a fearlessness about approaching people, and a lot. Most of them are friends. Like mm-hmm. there's a common thread throughout the film where it's like, I'm like, you know, this is a movie about my friends, which is amazing, you know. But then there are other people that I met along the way, like people that Boo brought in, you know.
Right. And I just basically called people I knew, you know, growing up. All of these guys work with my dad or had respect for my dad.
Uh-huh.
So I was blessed to, you know, to have a father that was so inspirational that people had a lot of respect for.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had to kind of earn, they knew me, and I had to kind of, you know, earn their trust. But there was a you know, there was a relationship existing.
Right.
So that helped tremendously.
So who did you pick up the phone and call?
Otis Clay, William Bell. Pick up the cell, call William Bell.
That's it. Yeah, my brother, William Bell.
Frazier Boy. You know, when we got William Bell on board, we didn't know who we were going to pair him with. And, you know, we called a bunch of people and just in conversation, Martin mentioned to Snoop, you know, yeah, we're doing this thing. We got so-and-so and William Bell. And Snoop goes, wait, William Bell? That's my favorite artist. You know, William Bell is such an amazing performer.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, he's for the person that really digs deep into the history. So for Snoop to even know who he was, you know, that was just amazing. It says a lot about Snoop's reverence for music.
So and you called Bobby Blue Bland, too?
Or
you
called Bobby? Had Bobby.
Bobby Blue Bland was a dream come true for us. That was like, you know, when we meet Bobby on camera, that was the first time we met. So all of that interaction is real, you know. Like I can't say enough, like the power of Bobby's voice and the joy you see in Mavis Staples, like when we're all together, is completely unscripted and candid, you know.
Yeah.
I just want to stress that it was like it was these. This interaction that was so magical, that's when we really realized we had something big, you know, but it was Rod Bland. Honestly, it was Bobby's son is a fantastic drummer here in town that I'm friends with and we're all friends with, known for a long time, and he's a great drummer. And we had been playing together and working together. So it was just, that's the nature of the film. You know, it was if it wasn't a person I knew directly, it was one degree of separation away.
Right.
And you develop these relationships. Yo Gotti, who we paired with Bobby Bland, and these two guys just have remarkable voices. Like, I can't tell you how incredible it was being in the studio with them. You know, like just hearing it come through the speakers was mind-blowing. But when Gotti and Bland meet, it was the first time they had met on camera as well. You know, I've been playing guitar for Yo Gotti. Sometimes they would call me, like, for example, when we do Memphis in May,
right.
When we do like festivals locally, he would call me in to come play guitar. It was so fun, you know, and again, that's just the nature of this project. It was one step away from happening naturally. We just kind of pushed it in the right direction and set up cameras.
Right, right, right.
You know?
Well, and you could see when the younger musicians would come in and they were meeting these legendary guys,
right.
You saw the respect.
Exactly. You know, it was the first session we did was Al Capone with Booker T.
Yeah.
And when I picked up Booker T at Peabody and we drove down to our Zebra Ranch studio in Mississippi, and he and Al were having this conversation about the neighborhood they both grew up. It turns out they grew up in the same part of town, like literally right down the street from each other, just 30 or 40 years removed. So they had this interaction, this discourse that was like just amazing that you see in the film as well. And that's when we knew that we had something really big, that it was beyond just a record.
Well, I love watching the whole collaborative process. Mm-hmm. And one thing in particular, because I know you and Mavis Staples have known each other for a while and have toured together. So Mavis shows up and she goes, do you know this song? And you and Luther are like, no. And so
right.
You look it up on the computer. And so there we go from there. You guys learn the song and that's what closes the film. And it's an awesome gospel song I didn't know.
Oh my God, that song is amazing.
It is amazing.
At one of the screenings in Maine, when that song came on, some of the people actually stood up and started dancing.
Oh, that's so
oh my gosh.
And, you know, Luther was really on the spot there because, again, you know, it's all real. It's completely candid. And he really didn't know the song. We had never heard it. And he learns it right there on the spot. I mean, not to spoil the thing for you, but it's like... It was. He just did a great job with that.
He did a great job.
You know?
Well, sadly, this film marks the last time we see some folks because some folks have left us since they appeared in the film.
You know, it's such a huge part of the movie, and it's it just speaks volumes to the importance of doing something like this. And you know, I'm so glad that we got to document these, you know, these masters, these legends that, you know, most people, unless they really dig deep and read liner notes, wouldn't know who they are.
Right.
And so, it's a real honor to have captured the moment, you know, of these guys that make our music possible.
We just, with the film, we just want to pay respect, you know, to these amazing people and our loved ones and our friends. you know, and honor them and their memory, and you know, preserve it, you know, for everyone, you know, and future generations and things like that. In that respect, it feels like a very, very important project.
I know it was a labor of love for you both, and it, you couldn't have had a better outcome. I mean, it was just such a joy to watch these collaborations and to watch how much fun you guys were all having. And great original score that you wrote too, Cody.
Oh, thanks so much.
Yeah. So y'all are taking this to different festivals now, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Good deal.
We've been everywhere.
We've been going all over the place. You know, we had an amazing experience at South by Southwest. You know, that was our festival premiere, and we won the Audience Choice Award, which was a huge accomplishment. You know, that's the big one, and it felt really good. It also got us off the ground. You know, it got us in a position where we can get proper distribution, and it's, you know, again, it's coming out this week nationwide in theaters. September 12th, and then the next week it'll continue to roll out in secondary markets. You know, so I just encourage everyone to go out there and please support this film, and you know, there's a huge charity component that's going to go towards
Church Health Center.
The Heart Foundation. Yeah. You know, so it's all for a cause, and you know, we just want to share it with people. It was an amazing experience and a big part of our life.
And it's good for young, old, and in between. You know, it's something. It's about music, but it's bigger than that. You can apply it. And, you know, we can apply this in our life. You know, the generations, there's so much disconnect now. You know, the young people don't understand, you know, don't listen to the old people anymore. And this movie is about bridging a gap with the generations and mentoring and passing the torch, you know, because me and Cody wouldn't be here if we didn't listen to our parents.
That's right. You know? That's right. Absolutely.
Well, you were fortunate to grow up with such amazing fathers and such great role models. And, I mean, your lives have turned out. I mean, you couldn't have done anything else but be in music.
That's
really.
Right.
So,
that's right.
So thanks for carrying it on. And Sons of Mud Boy, way to go.
Oh, right on.
But I'm just tickled that you were both here today. And I want to let everybody know that don't miss this film. It's just so uplifting. And you get to hear some terrific music, too. And now that I bring that up, one of my colleagues watched it this morning. And she watched a few minutes and then came in my office and went, is the soundtrack out? I have to have a soundtrack. I want the soundtrack today. So when's the soundtrack coming out?
It comes out today.
On Stax Records.
Even better. Okay, get it locally, get it online, and you can get more information about the film by going to the website tmttr.com. Also follow them on Twitter, tmttrfilm, and facebook.com/tmttrfilm. And you can get your tickets online to see the screening this Friday night at Malco's Paradiso Theater. Tickets are $10.50, and you can get those at malco.com, and those are available to purchase today. Boo Mitchell, an executive producer of Take Me to the River. Cody Dickinson created this and wrote the score. He created it along with the director, Martin Shore, and it was just a joy to have you both in this afternoon. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us, Kaki. And big shout out to Jimmy Tashy. They've been great. The whole city's been amazing supporting us. Mm-hmm. The Visitors Bureau, Kevin Kane,
Kate Hackett.
Oh my goodness. You know, I could go on and on, but thank y'all so much for the support and the love.
All right. Well, thank y'all for coming out this afternoon.
Sure thing.
Thank you.
Checking in the Arts is made possible by the Germantown Performing Arts Center, celebrating its 20th anniversary season with the Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra and Wynton Marsalis October 4th. Information and season tickets available at the GPAC box office 901-751-7500 and online at gpacweb.com. And the Orpheum Theater, presenting Penn & Teller Friday, September 19th at 8 p.m. For 35 years, this impressive duo has defied labels and, at times, physics and good taste by redefining magic and inventing their niche in comedy. For information, 525-3000 or orpheum-memphis.com.